Well, good morning, everyone. So good to be back with you this morning. I want to thank all of you for your prayers. The retreat went well the weekend before last, but the side effects of the flu did not go so well. It's last week when I came down with the flu, and we found out like two or three other people on the retreat did as well. So I want to thank you for your prayers, and as I affectionately always say, I want to thank my much older brother for filling in with me last week and the week before. But it's good to be back with you today. There's a story of a country preacher who lived on a farm and was getting a point of his life that he wanted to downsize the number of animals that he had on the farm. So he decided that he was going to sell his horse. And a young man came by the farm to look over the animal and asked to take it for a ride. And the farmer said, "Sure, but just remember there's only two commands that the horse knows. Praise the Lord to go, and amen to stop." And the man got on the horse and said, "Praise the Lord," and the horse took off in a full gallop all over the farm, and the man had forgotten the word to stop. And so the horse took off through the woods, and he was coming to a river with a 100-foot cliff, and finally the man remembered, "Amen." And so the horse slid to a stop with his hooves just stopping inches away from this 100-foot cliff. And he looked out over the horse, and he goes, "Praise the Lord." Let me ask you a question. How many times do you love to praise the Lord? And by that I mean just not saying praise the Lord. I mean just love sitting in the presence of God and praise Him for who He is. If your answer is no, I would ask, why not? Did you know that praising God opens up to wonderful door into the very throne room of God? And where does God reside for those who call on Jesus? In our heart. Through Jesus Christ, God is with you. His Spirit is there within you if you open that door and let Him in. Last week in the Revelation class that many are taking in this parish, heard these words from Jesus to the church of Laodicea. "I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and be with him and he with me." There's a famous painting by William Holman Hunt that hangs in Keble College in Oxford, England, and also a replica made by Hunt that hangs in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. It depicts Jesus standing at the door, but if you look close, you'll notice that the door doesn't have a doorknob on the outside. Hunt wanted to get the point across that the door has to be opened from the inside. By our free choice, we have to let God in. And praising God is a willful act on our part to do just that. So let's explore praise for just a moment. What exactly is it? Sometimes we can get church easy using words like praise the Lord, and we say praise the Lord and giving thanks, and I do that. That's great. I do that all the time. But praise is much deeper than just giving thanks. Mr. Webster tells us that praise means to glorify, to exalt one, to give honor to one. When we speak well of someone, we are giving them praise. Let me give you an example, because we had this done just a few years ago. If someone's painting your house and they did an exceptional job, I mean, they were meticulous around the windows. They took off the outlet cover. You know what I mean. You take out the outlet covers and make sure you paint behind it so you don't get paint on the outlet cover itself. And I mean, they did it right. Yes, you would pay them the agreed amount, but however, you would probably tell them, "You did a fantastic job of painting that house. You really knew what you were doing." Not only that, but the first friend that you probably come in contact with, you'll probably say, "You know, Joe the painter, he did a fantastic job on our house. He did everything just right. He did this and that and the other thing, and it's a wonderful job." When your child comes home from school and has great grades, you praise them for a job well done. You might even go out and get one of those bumper stickers that says, "My child is an honor student at such and such middle school." They're proud of their child. They are praising the effort that they put into their work. But there's also a wonderful byproduct of praise. Whenever you praise someone for something well done, it only makes the other person feel grateful, but also releases a sense of joy in us. You feel joy in the painter's work that they did for you. They went the extra mile to make your home look good. You feel joy in the child who puts their all into his or her work at school. And we feel good for them. But sometimes it's hard to praise. Sometimes our lives seem like we're on this horse going at full gallop, and it's just hard to do anything but be grumpy sometimes. Have you ever been grumpy? There's a true saying, grumpiness breeds grumpiness. I know it's true because I made it up. In the sea of life, though, in life issues, it's easy to get grumpy. When things don't go quite the way we planned, we can get grumpy. The unexpected issues that pop up, we can get grumpy. Last week, when I had the flu, I felt grumpy at times. I asked Debbie the other day if I was a pill last week, and she kind of stared at me with a half smile. I think that means yes. But we don't have to let grumpiness of life get us down. There is good news. So I want to introduce to you two people that we've heard about, how they handled something in their lives. And the beauty of the examples in their lives is that it takes praise to a whole new level. The first person is the man named Simeon that we heard about. We don't know a lot about Simeon, but we do know certain things about him. We do know that he was a righteous man. Again, righteous means being right with God. So he had fellowship with God. He prayed and he sought after God. We are also told that Simeon was devout. Devout means to be devoted or committed. He was faithfully committed to God. There is no question about his faith. We know he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for that time when the promises have been made. Israel was in turmoil, and God made a promise to them. There was going to be a Messiah coming, and there was going to be hope coming. There is a Redeemer coming. Simeon stood on that hope, that promise that God had made. We also know that the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. He was anointed by God. God had revealed his truth to Simeon, and Simeon rested in that. The Holy Spirit gave Simeon strength that in a world that could make one very grumpy, in a world where there seemed like nothing but hopelessness, we get tired of waiting for the promise to come, tired of hearing all the prophecies, but he waited. Wednesday, at our healing service, we heard the scripture where Sarai was told that she was going to have a child in her later age, and she kind of laughed at the Lord for saying that because she was so up in her latter years. But there was a promise that was given to her from God, and we know the story. She took a shortcut in her own mind. Simeon rested in something, true hope that only God could give. He rested in a hope that was given to him by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit revealed a special promise to Simeon. He would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's one thing we do not know about Simeon. We don't know exactly how old he was. Movies like to depict him as an elderly man waiting to die. That may be true. But Scripture doesn't really say that, only that Simeon would not see death before he saw the Lord. But regardless of his age, Simeon has this wonderful promise come true. And because he sought the Lord, because he is in the relationship with God, Simeon has unveiled to him this wonderful promise to see Jesus. And Jesus was only 8 days old. Simeon was led by the Spirit to the temple at the very moment he needed to be there. The timing was perfect. Isn't it exciting how the Holy Spirit works to make things happen when we trust him? And here they are in the temple together. And Simeon took one look at Jesus and he took him into his arms and he began to praise God for this wonderful moment that was promised to him. "For my eyes have seen salvation," he says, "that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." This is the hope of the world. Notice what is happening in the song of praise. Simeon has been in this relationship with God. He is given a promise, and the promise is fulfilled, and in gratitude, he praises God. What a wonderful thing to have done with the Lord. "My eyes have seen your promise. All people will benefit from this wonderful thing." It's almost like God is taking this spiritual paintbrush and painting a beautiful tapestry of renewed life that we will have in Jesus, and Simeon is telling about it. Do you think Simeon was overjoyed? Do you think God took joy in Simeon? This is a child of God offering back to God the praise and honor given to him. We are told in the Psalms that God inhabits, that means to enter into, the praises of his people. So God, and by his Spirit, and Simeon are interacting in this wonderful God-ordained encounter with Jesus. Now let's meet the second person that I want to introduce to you. Her name is Anna. Anna came from a lost tribe. What we do know is that she was a senior citizen. She was 84 years old. We know that she had been a widow for somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 years based on when a person typically got married in those days. And we do know that the entire time since her husband died, Anna spent praying and fasting in the temple day and night. That was a special calling on her. And I think that's significant, and I'll tell you why in a moment. We also know that Anna is a prophetess. She was given insight to God's word and his working among his people. God speaks to her about what he wants done and will do. And Anna also has a divine appointment with Jesus. As Simeon is finishing, Anna walks up and begins to give thanks and praising God. You see, efforts of fasting and praying are not in vain. God is revealing to her his glory, his redemption. And she begins to declare it to all who are waiting for redemption. And here is why I think Anna being in the temple for so long is significant. This temple, this holy place of God's dwelling, has become somewhat corrupt. The Pharisees lost sight of God. Herod was off on his own little world of glory and turf building. The temple had become nothing but a place of ritual, living under the law. They lost sight of the relationship that you can have with God. And at this perfect time, God is brought into this holy place. The praises and the vision from the heart of Simeon is heard. The thanksgiving and the prayers of Anna are heard. Praises are springing forth from their heart. Why? Because when Jesus takes on the sins of the world upon himself, when he conquers death and rises to new life, when he ascends and brings the Holy Spirit and it falls on the church, when people receive him into their lives, it is the heart of God where the heart of God will reside. It is in the heart that God will fill the joy that is unquenchable. Before Jesus came, the people were forgetting about the relationship they can have with the one true living God. But the remnant kept praying. The remnant kept praising. In the midst of self-serving, self-seeking world comes hope. And out of here comes, and here's what comes out of it. Our heart then cries out like David's, who is seeking God with his own heart. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." That's David's song. Praising God opens a whole other dimension of God's presence in our lives. It is inviting him to enter into the very depths of our being. It is essential in our walk with the Lord to just sit and spend that time with him. We need it. Did you hear what David said in his experience of prayer and praise? He said, "For a day in your court is better than 1,000 elsewhere." That means that just one day in the presence of the Lord to David is to him better than 3 years anywhere else. Living in the presence of the Lord is something that Jesus longs for us to do. He desires it for us. God came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. He was presented to us as a sin offering so that you and I can experience something wonderful and holy. And we praise him for all that he has done for us and all that he has given to us through his Spirit. We owe him our very lives. And in return, he fills us with the joy that can only come from him. English Christian artist Matt Redman wrote a song, 10,000 Reasons, that we will sing in just a little while. This one verse goes like this: "The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes." What is holiness back today? No matter what life throws our way, no matter how grumpy we may get from time to time, nothing can ever remove the joy of his presence. Today, I encourage you to open the door of your heart. Allow him to into those places. Allow the presence of the living God to fill you to overflowing. Offer to God your praise. Offer to God your life. Give him the glory that is due his name, and let him fill you with the joy of his presence. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you came to us, that you were presented to us as a living sacrifice to take our sins upon that cross, that we might enter into that place with you, Lord God. And we praise you and give you thanks for all that you are doing and will continue to do through all of us, Lord. May your name be known to the nations. May your name be known to all who cry out for hope. Come to them, Lord God. Use us to spread your word, Lord. As we leave this place, continue to encourage us in all that you have for us. And we give you thanks and we give you praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.